Resolving differences.
What does the planner do when load and capacity are not balanced? Load or capacity must be changed to prevent a conflict, either under capacity, which risks not meeting orders, or overcapacity, excess or uncommitted capacity, which impacts profitability. In a plan material first or material dominated approach to planning, planners depend on the flexibility of capacity, which enables them to meet due date priorities. Mechanisms must be in place to exploit the flexibility of capacity and also the flexibility of scheduling if necessary. Resolving differences starts by changing capacity whenever possible. This might include authorizing overtime in periods of undercapacity and undertime in periods of overcapacity. Hiring or laying off workers may be possible in the time horizon, but in the case of hiring, equipment must be available for the workers' use. Leasing more equipment may or may not be possible. Adding a work shift or removing one is another option when equipment is a constraint that cannot be changed in the given time. Workforce development can also be used to upskill the workforce and increase their productivity over time. Subcontracting might be used to provide additional supply to meet the demand. However, it may not be an available short-term solution. Alternate routings might be used to shift some demand to another work center. Finally, it may be possible to improve processes, such as by reducing setup or runtime. When these options have been explored and exhausted, the next step in resolving differences is to alter the load. This may involve changing lot sizes, order splitting, modifying order quantities, and/or rescheduling certain orders with different due dates. Any changes in schedules or load will require repeating the scheduling simulation and load profiles, because a resolution in one area or work center may create new capacity issues for other areas or work centers. In the example shown in Exhibit 7-75, there are three periods of overcapacity. Exhibit 7-75, load profile for work center 13 in table format. Looking at week 4, which has 22 hours scheduled over rated capacity, a firm plan order could be used to schedule 6 hours of this work in the prior 2 weeks, taking advantage of excess available capacity. The remaining 16 hours could be resolved using overtime. Since there are 4 pieces of equipment, this would be 4 hours of overtime per operator, or less than 1 hour per operator per day. In some cases, experienced managers will know whether their workers are able to work faster than the standard due to experience or other factors. And in this case, they might advise the workers of a possible need for overtime, but actual use of overtime might be avoided if possible. If this or other changes are not acceptable, possible, or cost-effective, it may be necessary to reschedule one or more orders, which should be feasible since the total capacity required and total capacity available are the same. This may not be simple, since delaying this work might delay the work it depends upon and customers might need to agree to such a delay. Some items are custom orders and others are make-to-stock, so some of the make-to-stock production might be shifted to a later period as long as inventory levels stay above zero. Increasing capacity, reducing load, decreasing capacity, or increasing load are explored in more detail next. Note that a rebalancing process could also be used, but this process is addressed in its own area. Increasing capacity. Tactics aiming at increasing capacity can focus on the workers, the equipment, or the processes that produce the work. Workforce-focused tactics must consider the basic trade-off in increasing workforce capacity. The costs of hiring new workers, which includes recruiting and training costs, as well as the lower productivity of new workers, and the risks associated with short-term solutions, which can include negative impacts on employee attitudes, higher costs, and the potential of not finding enough trained workers at the right time. Tactics include the following: adding shifts. This includes increasing the length of shifts or scheduling weekend shifts. It should be used in the medium term because it is not desirable to change scheduled shifts frequently. This can lead to an unmotivated and unengaged workforce and low retention of skilled workers. Scheduling overtime or weekend work. This can be a good short-term solution when capacity shortfalls are likely to be only temporary. Increasing the number of workers available. If undercapacity appears to be a long-term feature of planning, then the expense of hiring additional workers may be wise. If undercapacity is a short-term problem, hiring temporary or seasonal workers may be more economical than hiring full-time workers. Cross-training and developing workers. Workers with multiple capabilities can be assigned flexibly to overloaded work centers. Other forms of workforce development can also increase skill levels to increase productivity, such as by reducing poor work output. Purchasing additional equipment or equipment with greater capabilities will also add capacity. Operations might, for example, add another lathe to a work center or add robot-guided delivery systems to move work in process from one work center to another. Processes can also be analyzed to identify opportunities to decrease setup times or minimize move time. Case study: increasing capacity at the shipbuilder. Capacity can be difficult to control at a project-driven enterprise such as the shipbuilder, even when projects may take multiple years to complete. Management has resisted proposals to increase resources in a permanent manner. Idle workers will have to be furloughed when project work in a certain category is completed and no further work is scheduled. This hurts the shipbuilder's brand as a desirable employer where careers can be built. Similarly, investments in new equipment are made only after extensive analysis of payback periods under favorable and unfavorable business scenarios. Note that the shipbuilder could develop more external relationships, such as standby contracts with subcontractors to perform activities that are not core competencies. But this is a type of outsourcing. Outsourcing does not increase capacity since it is actually a form of reducing load. Reducing load. To reduce load, reducing lot size can be a good short-term solution. Decreasing the order size will reduce the runtime load, but completing the full order will require additional runs and incur the expense of additional setups. Modifying order quantities along with changing the lot size to be compatible with it would be a more long-term solution if this makes the overall load balancing more manageable. But careful analysis is needed as discussed more next. Planners can reduce lot size in isolated cases by using firm planned orders in the material requirements planning, MRP, or planning process. To cover extended periods, planners may need to revise the lot sizes used in the MRP plan and then completely rerun the capacity requirements plan. This calls for careful analysis, however, since lot sizing aggregates material requirements for multiple periods and MRP product structure levels. Substantial changes in lot sizing planning factors can affect periods beyond the present one. The changes can also affect lower-level materials in the bill of material, since these materials may also have lot sizes that could be affected. The following methods can also be used to reduce load and possibly free up capacity if the related in-house capacity is also still maintained, subcontracting. This may be a solution for anticipated short-term capacity issues. This type of arrangement generally has a start date, an end date, and a specific scope of work the outside company will perform to help resolve the overload. Outsourcing. This essentially is a make or buy decision that can address long-term capacity imbalances. Outsourcing production usually is a permanent choice that centers around a firm's decision to focus on its core competencies. A last resort for reduction of load when adequate capacity cannot be added in the short term is to change the order dates or order quantities in the master production schedule, MPS. Doing so could have a negative effect on customer service and indicates that rough cut capacity planning is inadequate. If the MPS changes, then material requirements planning and capacity requirements planning must be rerun to assess the effects of the changes. Case study: reducing load at the hotel group. Reducing load is an uncomfortable but necessary tactic for service enterprises such as the hotel group. Like airlines, hotels overbook, anticipating a certain percentage of no-shows. Having an empty room is akin to simply destroying a finished good. At the same time, handling guests whose reservations will not be honored is a very sensitive situation. The hotel maintains agreements with a network of local hotels who agree to handle each other's overflow load. Managers are allowed latitude in negotiating additional compensation for guests. Reducing capacity. If the problem is overcapacity, planners look for ways to reduce or reassign workers. In the medium term, for example, during an economic downturn that decreases customer demand, shifts may be shortened or eliminated. To decrease the impact on the workforce, management may use this time to train workers and potentially increase their productivity or cross-train them. Workers may also be reassigned temporarily from underloaded to overloaded work centers or to preventive maintenance or other indirect tasks. Case study: reducing capacity at the fast fashion retailer. The fast fashion retailer is sensitive to sudden drops in customer demand. These may be caused by local employment conditions, such as layoffs by major employers. Short-term overcapacity can be caused by severe winters. The retail store workers are not guaranteed full-time employment. Shifts can be canceled on short notice. The store is experimenting with a new strategy that will alert workers to open shifts in other stores within a certain distance. Management hopes this may help mitigate the negative effect of reviews on social media by ex-employees disappointed with unpredictable and shortened work schedules. In the warehouse, workers have been cross-trained to perform different jobs. When shipping slows, workers are moved to maintenance chores or sent for training, increasing load. If there is excess capacity, operations may do the following: bring items normally purchased or subcontracted back in-house. This medium-range solution is the reverse of subcontracting. It requires a make or buy analysis. Note that, in a logistics network, a subcontractor may be considered a partner and an extension of the company. Bringing work back in-house might compensate for a reduction in load, but at the expense of a partner relationship. Revise orders for earlier release. This is a temporary solution, since this option tends to build up inventories of work in process and finished goods while expediting needed raw materials. It thus should be considered a short-term load leveling option rather than a means to correct cumulative capacity excess. Increase lot sizes by using firm planned orders. This, however, also produces additional inventory and should be a short-term solution. Increase the master production schedule. This is the least desirable solution, unless there are sales or sales projections to support it, because it requires a rerun of both material requirements planning and capacity requirements planning. This solution might have unforeseen results on the balance of workloads. Take on subcontract work from other operations. When taking on subcontracting work from other organizations is feasible, it can accommodate short or long-term load imbalances. These tactics can decrease the costs associated with excess capacity, but can increase the costs of inventory, including storage, obsolescence, and loss. On the other hand, they can prevent layoffs and work furloughs that weaken the employer-employee relationship.